truly Pushed to the Limit is one of the greatest theme songs ever.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Tell me it didn't fit Scarface perfectly.
It didn't fit Scarface perfectly. That movie was a debacle, and that movie is horrible. And that movie is only kept alive by annoying bros who think it's awesome because there's lots of drugs and a cool gun. Or there's an infinite amount of movies that also have lots of drugs and cool guns that are way better, that have decent acting, a plausible story, and...
You know what would have been better than Push It to the Limit, though?
Nah.
Take It to the Limit by the Eagles.
Yeah, somehow that doesn't fit the...
As Tony Montana ends the movie in a pool of blood.
Yeah, that doesn't vibe with Cocaine Miami.
Yeah.
Well, that was...
There it is.
That song wasn't out there. I mean, I suppose you could have used Danger Zone, but it was already Danger being Zone. Used.
Yeah, K-Logs didn't take up Scarface.
No.
Kind of a shame.
Well, he kind of stuck to more family-friendly movies. I mean, he was still big.
Danger Zone.
Yeah. That's a thing. What were we talking about?
Boop.
I think we're talking about football.
Let's talk about football.
All right. College football. It was week two. Let's see. I don't even remember what happened in college football. You know, I kind of tend to block it out. I remember there was something about USC Stanford, and then I just kind of, you know, went white there because, oh, that's right, Steve Sarkisian is a scumbag. His name is Scumbag Steve. Threw a hissy fit, called down his athletic director to talk to the refs because he's not...
He didn't call him down.
He called him down.
No. Yes. Pat went down on his own accord.
No, he texted him down.
Because he was...
No, he sent up a text. He sent up the Pat signal, called him down because he's not a big boy, and he couldn't handle with the refs. And he's a straight-out punk. And I suddenly realized, hey, I really hate Southern California.
Hey.
To hell with Southern California.
Well, I hate to tell you, I might have been wrong about Arizona State. I think USC might win the...
So. Well, I was telling you were wrong about Arizona State the whole time, so that's no surprise.
But either way, that game's going to be awesome.
I'm sorry.
If I'm not mistaken, that's at Sparky on a Thursday night.
I don't know, but screw Southern California. They... You know, I let them off the hook for a while there because they were sucking, but it is clear to me they are back to being moderately talented and vastly overrated. Stanford won that game. Their coach lost it for them by refusing to kick the field goals. They had two shots to kick field goals. Granted, they were long shots, but he said, we're going to play field position with 4 minutes left.
Yep.
It's...
And that's why Stanford will always lose 3 games a year.
Their coach, I'm sorry, he doesn't need to go, but he needs to grow a pair of stones there and learn to kick the field goals in clutch situations and get a better kicker. I don't know, although maybe their kicker is like is like the Kaysen Beatty of kickers, who knows.
Whoa, Kaysen Beatty is the Kaysen Beatty of kickers.
Well, I meant field goal kickers, not punters.
Doesn't matter.
I separated them.
It doesn't matter.
You know, what if secretly Kaysen Beatty's a really good field goal kicker?
Nope.
Have you ever seen him kick field goals? We don't know what he can do.
I sensed a disturbance in the forest when you said that.
Outside of looking like a, you know, California surfer bro, I don't know. Is he? That's a talent, I guess.
I don't know. But anyway, we got a lot of picks this week. There wasn't much to go off of last week except... Michigan is bad, and they should feel bad.
Like I told everyone, and no one believed me. Oh, sure, Notre Dame will win, but they will win close. No! Michigan has no talent on that team. Devin Gardner is your answer at quarterback. For crying out loud, he wears number 99. Name the last quarterback that wore 99 and was successful.
Just good God. That just hurts.
Yeah, Brady Hoke, you're done.
Yeah, and it's a shame.
And then little brother Michigan State, they made a game out of it over there in Eugene, but They let us both down there.
That was a really, really good
game. Really good game. They're good. They're probably the only talent in the Big Ten.
Oh, and speaking of the Big Ten.
Oh, we are speaking of the Big Ten right now.
Bitter ingredients. Bitter pizza. Papa John's.
Losing to Virginia Tech. I'm hoping that that's a sign of things to come from Virginia Tech. I'd like to see Virginia Tech get good again. They're a team I love to hate. And it's hard to... And it's the same thing with South California. I can't hate you when you suck, because there's no point in me expending good quality hate energy on a team that's bad. It's not worth it. I reserve my hate and my wrath and my judgment for teams that are good and don't deserve to be where they're at. Looking at you again, Southern California.
Yeah.
Ohio State, you always fit that mold.
Yeah.
Although it looks like you're bad this year.
I hate Virginia Tech because the problem is, you talked about USC and Ohio State. You want to know the difference between when USC and Ohio State are overrated?
Every year.
Compared to Virginia Tech?
Yeah.
Eventually, SC and Ohio State actually win the title. Virginia Tech, this is the year Frank Beamer does it. No, it's not, because you mentioned Frank Beamer.
Okay, well, no one has ever said this is the year Virginia Tech's going to win it since Michael Vick was there.
Ooh, no,
maybe
buddy.
Someone said it when Marcus was
09,
there.
2010,
no
all
one,
around
no, I didn't hear anybody say that in those years. No one said... 2010, no one was saying that. No one was saying that in 2010. Maybe you, but not me. I mean... I want a rival for Florida State in the Atlantic Coast, and it looks like the Atlantic Coast Conference is
in the Coastal Division. Well, they kind of have one. It's called Miami.
Well, I'd like a rival that can actually win the division.
Oh,
Virginia Tech has won that division before. Georgia Tech has won that division before. Clemson will never win that division because they're not in that division. Duke has won that division. I don't know, maybe they want to start something. I don't know, it's hard to tell, but it's, you know, but back to the Big Ten. My beloved Cornhuskers, they didn't deserve to win that game.
Ooh,
amazing
boy.
Amazing play, a last-second play by Amir Abdullah.
Oh, boy, buddy.
It is just... And the weird thing is usually when Nebraska's in this situation and coming close to losing to these, like... 1AA schools, or whatever they're called now, it's usually because Taylor Martinez, a.k.a. T-Magic, would throw four interceptions, but Tommy Armstrong Jr. isn't throwing interceptions. It's just the defense, which is what Bo Pelini's supposed to be there for, lets these teams get a whole bunch of yards running the triple option and crap, and whatever. I don't know. I don't know what to say. I was for sure. We're 2-0, traveling to Fresno State for a 10:30 kickoff on the CBS Sports Network. I'm thinking Nebraska loses this week in Fresno.
Maybe. But I don't know. I mean, Nebraska's still good, buddy.
Oh.
Did they have their issue?
You don't have to say those things that aren't true.
Nebraska's good, and you know it.
They've got some playmakers, but they just don't have the mindset on defense. Offense appears to be clicking for the most part, well, except for the fact that McNeese State held them in check the entire game until that last play. I don't know. But yeah. So are you excited for BYU to run the table and make the playoffs?
Yes, I am.
You are? Really?
Get them, Mormons.
Because that's not going to happen, because this is what's going to happen. BYU is going to run the table, finish the year 12th, and never even sniff a BCS bowl.
Oh, boo hiss. They'll at least come to a BCS bowl.
Okay, fine. They'll get to play in the Fiesta Bowl, but they won't get playing someone who's going to like it. They'll play Baylor. And they'll probably beat Baylor. Because everybody can beat Baylor in the Fiesta Bowl.
Aww. Shade thrown. And by everybody, you mean Central Florida.
I mean Blake Bortles, yes.
Blake Bortles! Hashtag free Bortles.
Yep.
Free Bortles indeed. But anyway.
Moving on to this week.
It's time for some picks.
No, don't want to talk about this week?
We'll talk about this week with picks.
Oh, okay.
Because, I mean, all you need to know is that the 8 o'clock games are awful.
And the one
come watch Oklahoma beat Tennessee senseless.
I don't think that Oklahoma is going to beat Tennessee senseless. They're going to beat them, but I don't think it's going to be senseless.
At home, it is.
Oklahoma's bad and overrated.
Oklahoma's overrated, but they're not bad.
Another team I hate.
Tennessee just doesn't have what it takes in the trenches yet.
We'll see about that. We're not picking that game, but we'll see about that. All right. Starting off picks this week, we have, for your viewing pleasure, 0-1 University of Central Florida at number 20 for all the good the rankings do. I understand that these rankings are meaningless, and actually will be meaningless. 2-0 Missouri. Missouri favored by a dime.
I like Mizzou to win this game, but Central Florida's going to cover. They're pesky and well-coached, and Mizzou is, well, I don't know. I don't know what to think of this Mizzou team yet.
Get on the road, bat at home.
Maybe.
Although technically it was a home game for Gary Pinkle, formerly a coach of the Toledo Rockets up there in the Glass Bowl in Toledo, Ohio. Yeah, I got to take Missouri in this one, too. UCF is scary to SEC opponents. They always play them a half and a quarter well, but they're on the road, so I'm not going to give them that quarter. They're only going to get a half out of it. Missouri wins and probably covers. Next up, we have number 21, 2-0, Louisville, traveling to University of Virginia, 1-1. Louisville favored by 6.5. Virginia, this is the game where we're going to see if Virginia is going to win the Coastal.
Virginia's not going to win the Coastal, first of all.
But they win this game.
But I'll tell you this. I even wrote this week that this is a game that Florida State fans are going to want to watch. Because this is your official litmus test of how good Louisville really is. Louisville played a cupcake last week, and they played a very suspect Miami team on Labor Day night. This is a team that, if Bobby Petrino's fully got this thing rolling, that offense is going to be no joke.
Well, that offense already is no joke. I mean, Virginia flies around on defense, and they have a fantastic
exactly.
defense.
Exactly. This is the test. How does Louisville respond to a great defense? Not an elite defense.
Well, the question is,
but a great defense.
Can that defense stay on the field and stay fresh the entire game? Because
no.
Louisville is going to run a ton of plays.
No. The first half is your litmus test. The first half is when you get to see what is this Louisville squad made of. And at the end of the day, because Virginia's offense is not going to keep this game close for the Cavs. If Virginia does stay in this game, it's going to be because the defense is generating turnovers and giving them short fields to work with.
And the offense can run the ball. If they can get the run game going. Their quarterback has done some special things for them. They made a quarterback switch in week one, and he gave UCLA all they could handle.
Is that defense going to be good enough to save Mike London's job?
Yes.
Oh, God. Virginia.
Unfortunately,
Virginia, no.
London Bridge isn't falling down quite yet.
Virginia, you've got the money, you've got the facilities, you've got the talent in your backyard. There's no reason for you not to be good. But Louisville's going to win. What's that spread?
6.5.
Louisville covers because they win by a touchdown.
All right. Next up, we have the game of the century.
Of the week.
Number 6, Georgia, 1-0, traveling in to Columbia, South Carolina, 24, 1-1. Georgia favored by 2 field goals.
Georgia's either winning this game by a touchdown or 10 points. But I'm still This is another game that Florida State fans need to watch simply because
you're gonna figure out how good Clemson
is. Absolutely. And this is a game that Clemson fans need to watch because Clemson is going to figure out how good Clemson is. Because this is the game where Clemson fans finally get the answer to the question they've been looking for.
You know, I didn't,
can we beat South Carolina this year?
You know, I didn't notice. I think Clemson also has a bye this week.
Clemson does have a bye, yes.
Wow. So Clemson and FSU bye before their game. Ooh, I don't like that.
Yeah.
I don't like that at all. I like Florida State having a bye before that game, but I don't like Clemson having a bye,
yep,
too.
The ACC getting both byes.
Wow. They really want that game to be good.
Which makes no sense why they put it at week four then. So.
Well, the thought is get the viewers early while they think both teams will be good, and so.
See, but here's the thing.
Because Clemson has the potential.
But see, here's the thing.
They could fall off the face of the earth here.
You're in week four, though. I mean, remember 2 years ago when both teams were undefeated, uh-huh, and they were both, what, top 10?
Yeah.
And everybody was just, it was meh. I mean, there was hype for it, but it wasn't, oh my God, Florida State Clemson.
No.
And then remember last year when it was around week 7, week 8, and both teams were 7-0, and everyone was, oh my God, Florida State Clemson.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, the ACC knows that Florida State and Clemson are head and shoulders above just about everyone except Louisville in the Atlantic Division. They both draw softies from the Coastal. Why not make this game later? Why not let this hype build for a little bit? You had all the eyes of America on your conference for 7 weeks.
Because they have another matchup that they want everyone to watch. Notre Dame, Florida State.
Eh.
That's basically what they swapped this game out for.
And
they swapped this game out for Notre Dame, Florida State. And don't say eh, and don't say meh. Notre Dame looks like world beaters this year.
They do, and I told you they would.
And both of those teams should be undefeated, and Notre Dame is a semi-member of the ACC in football and a full-on conference member in every other sport. So for all intents and purposes, this is an ACC game that just doesn't happen to have any impact on who plays in the championship game.
Yeah.
But this is, the ACC is counting that as an ACC game, as both schools are technically ACC. And that's the game they want you to watch, and that's the game everyone will be watching. But who do you got in this Georgia South Carolina game? You got Georgia?
Oh, yeah. I do have Georgia by either 7 points or 10 points.
I have Georgia by all the points in the world. Just kidding. Really high on Georgia. That's been made abundantly clear right now. Looking for them to stomp on Spurrier. Next up, we have University of Kentucky, 2-0 at University of Florida, 1, and I'm going to go ahead and just say technically 1, because let's face it, they lost to Lightning. And the first week, they lost to Lightning.
What's that spread?
Florida by 18.5.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, Florida's going to cover.
Who?
Florida has won 20... Oh, wow. Florida has won 27 straight games against the Wildcats. Make it 28 this weekend. Kentucky's just bad, and Florida's offense is, I mean, I'm not ready to call it super, but it's far improved.
Florida's going to win, but they're not going to cover it 18.5. Next up, we have a rivalry game, traditional rivalry game, always played this time of year, third week of the season, or at least pretty close to that. We have 0-2 Iowa State. Their loss is coming to the best team in Division II, and a narrow loss to Kansas State, and 2-0 Iowa. Iowa in this game favored by 11. The fact that an Iowa team is going to be favored by double digits is a little shocking. Games
I
Iowa,
like the Hawks. Well, that game's a neutral sider.
No. No, those games are not neutral sites. Those games, it's home and home.
Are you sure about that?
I am 100% sure. I have seen that game many a times on the television.
All right, well, Iowa's going to win that game. I don't know if they cover that spread.
I don't like them to cover.
Simply because I don't like either of those teams. I know you're a little high on the Clones, but...
Yeah, let's go to the Clones. But no, we're picking the Hawkeyes. Iowa State's going to keep it close because they're spread option. They're going to keep it going and add some teams. Next up, our final college game to pick, we have the battle of the triple option. Georgia Southern, who has just come off of a win against the Florida Gators at 1-1, versus Georgia Tech at 2-0.
I have seen people that I respect pick Georgia Southern to pull off the upset.
It's triple
people
option.
People I respect no, in this business.
First off, let me just set the record straight right here. Both teams run the triple option. no one wins this game. It's a horrible game. Although I will say this, it will be the fastest game this week. This game will get over in record time. With no one completing a single pass, the clock will continue to run, only stopping on first downs. You know, I mean, we're both picking Georgia Tech, but maybe we should predict how long it takes them to play the game.
2 hours.
2 hours. 2 hours flat. I'm going to give them 2 hours, 15. I think there's going to be a couple first
downs. It has the length of a long college basketball game.
Yeah, pretty much. It's a soccer match. You know, 90 minutes. Well, that'd be impressive. All right. But that brings it to a close for college. Moving on to the pros?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, moving on to the pros. This week we're going to focus in on everybody who sucked last week and whether or not they can rebound. Spoilers, we like the road out of the teams we've taken. First up, we have 0-1 New Orleans Saints traveling up to scenic Cleveland, Ohio, who is also 0-1. New Orleans only favored by 6.5.
Yeah, well, I'm going to go ahead and tell you. They're going to cover that and then some. The Saints are still good. Don't worry about it.
No love for Joe Hayden in the Cleveland secondary?
Nope.
Me either. New Orleans big, and Drew Brees, you better show up for me in fantasy this week. Next up, we have 0-1 New England at 1-0 Minnesota. New England only favored by a field goal. Do you buy that? Do you buy Minnesota is that scary? That New England can only win by a field goal on the road, even though it's Minnesota and Minnesota's bad?
Yeah, no. Minnesota's going to lose. They're going to lose bad. Pat.
First game that Matt Castle will be playing, the New England Patriots. Last time the Chiefs played him, he was out, so technically he has yet to face his former team, which has nobody on that roster except for Tom Brady. Yeah, there's only holdover from when he was there. Maybe there's a couple others. Vince Wilfork. I don't know. That team's completely different now. It doesn't matter. And Miami, 1-0 at Buffalo. 1-0. Only game we're picking this week with winning records.
How about this?
It's a pick 'em. It's a pick 'em.
Miami, 2-0.
So,
crazy.
You warming up to that?
No, I'm not warming up to them.
No? You're not warming up to Miami beating the division?
No.
It's going to be two division wins. Quick.
No.
Back to back. Not drinking the Kool-Aid yet. And let me again stress, I severely dislike Miami. But just because I dislike them doesn't mean I can't see talent when they have it. They have a great defense. Look for them to go far, kids. Next up, we have 1-0 Seattle at San Diego, 0-1. San Diego, many people's dark horse. Many people's up-and-coming team.
I like the Chargers, too, and I think they're going to rebound from this inevitable 0-2 start, but they're losing this game.
Seattle's
Hawks, that's a brutal schedule early.
5.5. Someone on a show on television with extremely hot takes, just bringing this up, if you listen to the show, you might know who we're referencing here, but hot takes had San Diego winning this game.
Oh.
Because it's going to be the only loss to Seattle all year because San Diego is going to be Denver.
Yeah, no.
Takes.
All
right, next up we have your Super Bowl prediction from the NFC at San Francisco. Chicago 0-1, San Francisco 1-0. San Francisco basically had a dress rehearsal playing the Cowgirls last weekend. San Francisco favored by a touchdown.
Yeah, so the Bears are going to start 0-2.
Yeah, can you get the Bears' schedule up? Tell me when the Bears are finally going to win a game. You got to win. Who are they playing next week?
Well, let me see.
This is, of course, the
The Bears.
Home opener at Levi Stadium. This is Sunday Night Football, by the way. Carrie Underwood will be singing the introduction song.
Bears could very well pick up a win next week.
Who do they got?
They go to the Meadowlands to play the Jets.
All right. Just going to say this right now. They don't win against the Jets. This is a one-time deal. I will let you amnesty them as your pick and re-pick. Because I got news for you. 0-3 Bears don't make... I don't know if 0-3 Bears make the playoffs. My thing is this
schedule starts really hard for them.
I'm sorry,
Niners, the Jets, the Packers, the Panthers, and the Falcons in straight weeks. However, after that, you get the Fins, you get the Bucks, you get the Vikings twice,
get
the Lions twice, and you get the Cowboys.
Fins are tough. That's not an easy one.
It is in Soldier Field.
Don't know.
They're not playing.
Don't know. Maybe this Miami team's inspired. You don't know.
You think they can play on that playing surface?
I'm amazed the Bears play on that playing surface. Technically, you should say no one has the advantage there because the playing surface is awful. I'll let you amnesty it if you want, because even I don't care what the schedule says. Straight up history and percentages and numbers just tell you no. They're losing. Last game of the week, we have Philadelphia 1-0 at Indy. 0-1, Indy favored by 3. This is your Monday Night Football on ESPN with your rowdy friends. Well, formerly with your rowdy friends.
What do you think about that one?
I think Indy should be scared. I think they should fire their head coach. Well, they shouldn't fire their head coach. They should fire They should fire their general manager. Their defense is going to be atrocious. They are going to be the team. This is who Indy is right now. Indy is New Orleans 2 years ago. They have an offense. If they can get their offense on pace, if Andrew Luck can make his wide receivers better, which he does, but if he can make them a little bit better, they're going to score a lot of points, and their defense is going to give up more points. Indy is going to be in shootouts all year long, and this Philadelphia team, the fastest team in the NFL on offense, and by fastest, I mean they run the plays the most. They run an Oregon-esque offense there. Last year, they ran more plays than anybody else, and they got the ball off quicker than anybody else. Robert Mathis is missing on their defense. They've got a lot of problems. I like Philadelphia to win this game. It might not be pretty, but I like Philadelphia to win this game.
I like Philly, and I like them by at least 10.
I think
the oil drum's not that great of a home field advantage unless Jim Irsay's pumping sound in, which he can't do because he won't be at the game.
It's very rare that we bat a perfect game, if ever. I believe I did it once last year. I don't recall if you did. But I can see this one being a little suspect. But as you can see, we both picked the same teams. Updating the standings, I'm sitting at 14-5. You're sitting at 13-6. 2-0 for you. We're just going to call it a draw this week because we picked a spread, which is the tiebreaker, but we both were one off, so we were too lazy to pick another one. So, no change in the standings this week. Everybody wins.
Just this once. Everybody wins.
Well, I'm sure it's going to happen a few more times. But with that, it's time to move on to the one who knocks. Who can it be knocking at my door? And the one who knocks this week, well, I suppose I have to give it to Amir Abdullah for saving Nebraska and keeping them from going to a very, very dark place after being the second team in college football to lose to a Division II school. That was a reality. But his play with moments left in the game, breaking 6 tackles, an inspiring highlight reel for all time. I'm just going to go ahead and say this right now. Amir Abdullah will get invited to the Heisman ceremony. He's not winning. He's going to be that guy who goes in, and he's going to be that fourth guy who goes, and you know he doesn't have a shot, and he's going to be the, well, it's just an honor to be nominated. Because I got news for you. He has put that team on his back. He's going to run for a million yards. He's going to be the only reason that team wins. If Nebraska even has a shot of playing in the Big Ten Championship, which it looks like they do, I mean, I know they have to go through Wisconsin, but still, that's all you have to go through the rest of the Big Ten. It's nothing to worry about. That game at Michigan. Oh, wait, no, they don't play Michigan this year, do they? Play Michigan State, but even then. Nebraska does well. If Nebraska only has 2 or 3 losses, he goes.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, truncated edition of Eastbound and Fourth Down. Next week we'll be able to touch on that Ray Rice situation.
It's horrible.
And we'll be able to preview. There's like a lot of big games next week in college football, and then the rest are just terrible.
Which is good. It's good that there's a lot of big games.
Yes, it is.
I mean, it's early in the season. It's hard to get up for any of these games, NFL or college. I mean, I have a rooting interest in Miami, obviously, having picked them. You know, I've got interest in a couple teams fantasy-wise. But NFL games kind of put me to sleep these days. Well, at least this early in the season.
Yeah, this week was not anything special, but we'll move on. And you, my friend. Yes, you, listening right now. Thank you for listening, first of all. But you should follow us on Twitter, at EB40_podcast. You should like us on Facebook, at Eastbound and Fourth Down. And any way else you can support us, it'd be appreciated. And with that being said, I'm Ryan Kelly.
I'm Craig Wilson.
Y'all come back now.
Yeah, here.
Eastbound and down, loaded up and trucking. Are we going to do what they say can't be done? We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm Eastbound, just watch your bandit run.